Good morning, everybody. Parashat Vayeshev. Now we start with the story of Yosef. One of the interesting points with Yosef is that the one that's supposed to like him, hate him, and the one who's supposed to hate him, those who're supposed to hate him, love him. And we can see it, like his brother, holy brothers, the holy tribes. They hate him, they want to kill him. To murder. From the other side, we see when he gets to Egypt, everybody loves him. Like he's a slave, his master loves him, gives him everything. And then at the end of the story, when we see next week, he's also going to be the king of Egypt. He is the second in, which means Pharaoh himself tells him, nobody is going to move, not a hand, not a leg, without your command. What's going on here? How is it possible that the brothers hate him to the level that they want to kill him? And from the other side, we see that everybody loves him. And nevertheless, those who love him are the enemy. It's like, you know, be a slave. Your master gives you everything that he's got in his house. Everything is yours. You do whatever you want. And then he is being blamed of trying to rape the master's wife, the wife of Potiphar. She tells his brother, hey, do you know this Hebrew slave you brought to us? He wanted to rape me. And what would you do if you were a high shot in Egypt and you have in your power like this to kill, to do whatever you want, and your wife tells you, this slave, try to rape me. What would you do? Kill him on the spot. What's going on here? It's just a slave. No. He's not killing him. He's putting him in jail. And what's happening in jail? They also love him. So we have to understand what's going on here. So let's see. First of all, why do they hate him? He is telling his father things about them. By the way, he saw things and he didn't translate it in the right, let's say, translation. He didn't know exactly what he was seeing and he just went to his father and told him about what his brother are doing. Then he comes with the dreams. He tells them, you know, we're going in the field and all your house and this, and everybody's buying to me. Then they hate him. They hate him even more. Now, what would you do? Would you tell him, would you tell again another dream? And this dream, is in hell. The stars, the moon, the sun, everybody's bowing to?
Me.
To me. Now, you tell me. The brother hears those dreams. What, you're going to love him or going to hate him more? And?
Jealousy.
What's happening is, Vayosifu otznoto, and they hated him more. And then he tells them another dream. Two dreams. Yes.
You mentioned both.
Yes. Now, why do they hate him? And why is he telling them his dreams? He's not, no, you have, sorry? Okay, so, but Joseph is not stupid, and we see it later on. And also the 12 tribes are not, those tribes, they are not stupid people. They are holy, tzaddikim, that know what they do. Why do they hate Joseph? From what reason? They are tzaddikim. And from the other point, you know, you're not stupid, you know that your brother hates you. So why do you tell them those dreams that show that you want to rule over them? Why, are you stupid or something?
Afraid.
There is a famous Gemara that says that the dreams go after the solution. What does it mean? If I have a dream, and I go to somebody that will tell me, what did I see in my dream? Whatever he's going to say is going to come true. Sounds strange, but that's a Gemara. In other words, if you want somebody to translate, to explain your dream, who do you go to? Somebody who hates you or somebody who loves you? Loves you. Because if you go to somebody who hates you, he's going to explain you the dream in a terrible way, and the Gemara says, it's going to happen. But you have to understand, we're not talking about every dream. Okay? We're not talking about dreams that you dream about things you did in the daytime, or your dreams that you what you want to do. We're talking about real dreams that they are very rare. But nobody knows sometimes how to make the difference between just a dream which is nothing or a dream that is important. What they say is a dream in a dream, if you dream something, and in your dream you wake up and dream again, when you're still dreaming, you don't wake up really. That's one of 60 of a prophecy. So there are certain things, if you dream of them, people have, they also do ta'anit chalom. They fast. If they have a bad dream, they go on fast.
And you mustn't tell.
That's what we're learning here, that if you can tell it to somebody who loves you, because the one who loves you is going to explain it to you in a nice way. And it's very logical. So you can dream about a snake that comes and bites you. It sounds terrible. But the Gemara says if a snake comes to you, it's a good sign. So it's not exactly as we think. It's much deeper than what we think. But the Gemara says definitely there was a guy that... One of our sages that had a dream, and he went to, I don't remember how many, 24 or too many people to solve his dream. And each one of them solved them differently, and everything that they solved came true. So here we have Joseph. He's got a dream, which is a real dream, as we understand. We know this is a real dream. And he goes to his brothers who hate him, to tell them about the dream. Are you a Michiganer? Are you stupid? What's going to happen now? They're going to translate your dream in a very bad way, and it's going to happen. But that's exactly the point. Because Joseph knows that his brothers are tzaddikim. And Joseph knows that they think that he is arrogant, that he is a show-off. But he says, I'm going to tell them my dream, and this way they understand that I think that they love me, because otherwise I wouldn't come to them to solve me the dream, which is very clever but very risky, dangerous. But the funny thing is that what do they say? They say the truth. Hamaloch timloch aleinu, amashol timshol banu. Are you going to rule over us? So in other words, they solve the dream. They are not happy about it. But they solved the dream in the right way. Now, after telling them the first dream, and you realize that your brother even hates you more, then you go and tell them the other dream, which is even worse. But again, if his point of view is he's trying so hard to convince his brother that he wants their good, that he loves them, and it's not... The dreams don't come from, let's say, from arrogance, from he wants to do things. It's a real dream that comes from heaven. So he tries very hard. And by the way, later on, when he's being sent by his father to find them in the field, and he doesn't find them in the right place, he is telling the angel, Gabriel, which reveals himself as a human being, Et echai anochi mevakesh. I am seeking for my brother. And this is a very important sentence, and it's very strong. Et echai anochi mevakesh.
Are they alive?
I want my brothers. I'm asking for my brothers. This is a big thing. What is achai? I want everybody to be together. I want my brothers, Am Israel, to be together. And I'm willing to do whatever it takes to get it, to find this freedom, to find this love, to find this unity. And he's doing it. He's not stupid. He knows that he's risking everything. And we see what happens. They want to kill him. So we understand the point of view of Joseph. Now let's understand what's going on here with the brothers. Are they really hating so much that they want to kill him? An innocent guy? So he's arrogant. He's a show-off. So what? He's a telltale. He goes and tells his brother, so what? So you want to kill him? The thing is, when we look in the parsha, in Pasukei written, Ki oto ahav avihem mikol, his father loved him more than the others, vayisne'u oto, and they hated him. Velo yachlu, that's not the problem yet, the problem comes now. Velo yachlu dabro shalom. They couldn't speak with him. Later on, the Torah is telling us, when he approaches his brother, Vayir'u oto merachok, and they see him from far away, ubeterem ikrav elehem, before he comes closer, vayitnaklu oto la'amito, they decide to kill him. Yes, but the thing is, if we try to understand what the Torah is trying to tell us, couldn't speak with him, saw him from far, in other words, there is no communication. They don't let him talk. They don't let him explain. They don't even want to talk with him. And then, when they see him from far away, they don't let him come closer. In other words, if they would have given Joseph the opportunity to explain and to talk with them, maybe things would look different. This is us. We're looking at things, we see things, and we translate them the way we want. And we think we know what it's all about. And then, unfortunately,
we
find out that it's not true, what we thought. There's a famous story I told you once about Reb Aryeh Levin. He was going in a funeral for one of the tzaddikim of Yerushalayim, a levaya. And in the middle of the levaya, he goes to buy flowers in a shop. So somebody came to him and says, Rebbe, we met. That's what you do in the middle of the levaya? Where is your honor to the death? Kavod acharot, kavon lemet. He says, you know, levaya is a very important mitzvah. Chesed shelemet. Ah, and you go and buy flowers? Is this the time to buy flowers? And Rabbi Levin explained to him, this morning I've been in the leprosy hospital. He used to visit in the jail and the wounded and the leprosy. Nobody else did what he did. He was an unbelievable guy. A few books were written on all the chesed he did. So he told, I went there and one of the leprosy guy, he died. And now the problem is when somebody's got leprosy dies, you have to burn everything. Everything he owns, everything he touched, you have to burn. And he had tefillin. So they told me, we have to burn the tefillin. Now, there is another option, that we can bury it in the sand. But there is no sand here. There is no earth here. There is nothing. So he said, you know what? Let me find a solution. If you've got till 2 o'clock, if till 2 o'clock you come with a solution, no problem. If after 2 o'clock, we have to burn it. He says, I'm going to the levaya, and suddenly I see this flower shop. And I think to myself, I'm going to buy a plant. You've got earth in it, and a plant. And then I'm going to bring it to the leprosy hospital, and I put the tefillin buried in the sand, in the earth that I've got in the... So who could think about something like this? Who? We see somebody driving on Shabbos. Oh, Mechalel Shabbos. But he was going to hospital. We see things are being... It's like... This Pinchas, as I always tell the story, you look in the hall of the door and you see somebody with a knife stabbing somebody. So it's a murder. You open the door, you want to, and you see it's on, you're in the middle of operation. But you didn't see the whole picture. You just saw the knife being stuck in the guy. But the real truth is, if you see the whole picture, you see it's an operation and this is saving life, not killing. In other words, in life, we should understand, it's not what we see always. We have to have communication with each other. I went to a bar mitzvah last week, and I come to the table. My name is not there. A very fancy bar mitzvah thing. So, what would you do?
Come for a peripheral.
What?
Come for a peripheral.
I did. I turned over and I wanted to go back. So, no place, no problem. Didn't think about me. No problem. I meet him on the way. So, oh, where are you going? He says, I didn't know what to do. I says, I've got no place. No, Mapitom, come. It's a mistake. So you see, he, with all, and it happened, by the way, it happened to me also. I think I told you that in one of my son's weddings, a very good friend of mine, I invited him and everything, I forgot to put him on the table. And he comes, he doesn't see his name. When he comes to me, he says, Gabi, I don't see my name. He says, no, cannot be. So I said, wait, I look for it. And I come to the lady that was organizing everything. So I forgot the name. He says, no, put him on this table and quickly put the card on the table. But it happens. But you know, you see things and you already come to conclusion. And this is exactly the story, what we are being told. Joseph says, "Et echai anochi mevakesh." I want to tell them who I am. I want to communicate with them. But they don't want to know about it. So they really don't know the real picture till, we'll see in 2 weeks, when they realize that what they did was the biggest mistake in life. The Gemara says, "Parcha nishmatam." They died. And an angel came to give them back to Neshama. Because imagine to yourself living all your life by mistake. Like living all your life thinking that you did the best thing in the world, and then you realize, and you know, when you kill somebody, so you killed him in this world, but he still got the next world. But when you make somebody to sin, he loses both worlds, and you are also going to lose. Because somebody who made other people to sin, and he's doing tshuva, his tshuva is not enough. Because it's impossible he's going to be in Gan Eden, and the one he made sin are going to be in hell. Doesn't work like this. You have to make sure to fix what you did. Now, they wanted to kill him, but maybe it was even better from this point of view. Why? If they killed him, Yosef would have Alam Abba and everything is okay from Yosef's side. But what they did, they sold him to Ishmaelim. They sold him to Arabs. And then he got to Egypt. And this is a young guy, 16 years old, 17 years old. And what do you think is going to happen to him when he comes to this place with all the impurity, with all the corruption? It's going to have an influence on him. In other words, he's going to sin. And we see it next week maybe, that even his father, when they tell him this is alive, doesn't believe. What doesn't he believe? He knows he's alive. But from his point of view, life is only life of Torah. If life, corrupt life is not life. This is dead. Reshaim bechayehem kruim etim. A Rasha, even when he lives, he's called dead. So we understand that the whole problem here was communication, which is the terrible thing and an important thing in life. Make sure that even if you see something, talk about it. Maybe it's not what you think. And a lot of time you will find out that it's not what you think. Then, another interesting point. There are a lot of interesting things. We can talk about this parsha from today to next week. But let's see what's going on. So, Joseph is being sold. And by the way, also this, when you look at the way he's being sold, if you look at the psukim, it's quite complicated. I don't want to go into it. From one side, you see that he is being sold to the Ishmaeli. From the other side, you see to the Madianite. Then you see again the Ishmaeli. And then the Madianite. And it's not very clear what's happening. And Rashi, by the way, goes like this in order to explain what the Torah is telling us. But Or HaChaim HaKadosh explains it in a beautiful way. To make it short, when we look at the way it was being sold, they see Ishmaelite coming. It says, Lechu nimkerenu laishmaelim. We're going to sell him to the Ishmaelim. Okay? Then, Vayavru anashim Midianim. Midianite pass by, and they take him out. Vayimshechu vayalu et Yosef min habor. They take him out of the pit. Vayimkeru et Yosef laishmaelim. And they sell him to who? To the Ishmaelim. Now, who is selling? The Midianite or the brothers?
Midianites.
Impossible. Impossible, because they want to sell to the Ishmaelim. And it's not written that they sold them to the Midianites. You know, when you want to learn Torah, you have to be very precise about what you read. The Torah is telling us, Lechu nimkerenu l'Ishmael. The intention is to sell him to the Ishmaelite. Okay? Now, Vayavru. And now, while they want to sell him to the Ishmaelim, they have Midianite passing by. The Midianite is not written that he's being sold to them. They just take him out of the pit. And then it's written, Vayimkeru oto l'Ishmaelim. So you could say maybe they stole Yosef and took him out without anybody knowing and sold him to the Ishmaelim. But then, what do you blame the brothers for selling Joseph? They didn't even sell him. But in a minute we'll see what's going on. Okay, then it's written, "Vehamedanim machru oto el Mitzrayim." The Midianites sold him to Egypt. 1 minute. Who's got Joseph now? The Ishmaelim. So how the Midianites again here? What's going on here? Nevertheless, here we have the old story of Judah. After finishing this story, Ve'yosef orad Mitzrayim, and Yosef was coming to Egypt. Va'yikneu, listen, and he bought, who bought him? Potiphar, Srisparo, Sarat Abachim, Ish Mitzri, an Egyptian guy, from, who did we say was the end? The Midianite, we said, sold him. So who's got him? The Midianite. Miyad Ishmaelim. He bought them from the Ishmaelite. Well, what's going on here? So Rashi tries to do like, oh, Chaim says, very simple. The Midianite are the business people. And the Ishmaelite are the one who's got the money. Now the Ishmaelite come, and the brothers want to sell him. Says, we don't know what it's worth. We don't know. Oh, 1 minute, oh, we got the Midianite. So the Midianite come, they take him out of the pit, and they sell him, the middleman, and they sell him to the Ishmaelite, but from the brothers, but they do the willing and dealing. Then it's written that the Ishmaelite, that the Midianite sold him to the Egyptian. But then it's written that he bought him from the Ishmaelite. In other words, the willing and dealing was being done by the Midianite. But the real people who owned Joseph were the Ishmaelite. So in other words, so why did they go with them? To commission. They wanted their commission. So they went with them to Egypt and sold Joseph, and they took their commission, and that's it. It's a very interesting way. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh like put this in a way that suddenly everything is clear, but otherwise people don't realize what's going on here. Well, they sold him twice, three, four, five times, but then we understand they sold him once, and then those who would be he was being sold to sold him to Egypt. Anyway, Yosef gets to Egypt. And wherever, as we says, everybody loves him. And not only everybody loves him, and those not his brothers, they are strangers, and not only strangers, they are like his master, he is a slave. And still, they all love him, they give him everything. He's in charge on everything. Why? What's happening? Vayihi Hashem et Yosef, vayihi ish matzliach. What is ish matzliach? Was successful. Matzliach. Matzliach is when you are very successful. He says Matzlichan, he is a successful guy. He, whatever he does, is V'kol asher Hashem oseh, kol asher, slicha, V'kol asher hu oseh, Hashem matzliach beyado. Whatever he does, God makes him successful. Helps him to do it. Whatever, he touches this, becomes gold. Whatever he does, pop. Then, when he's being blamed with the rape, and he gets to the jail. And again we see...
He was the loved one in the jail.
He was the loved one in the jail. And whatever, again, v'asher Hashem ito, v'asher hu oseh, Hashem matzliach beyado. In other words, this guy is a matzlichan. He's a successful guy. But the question is, if I want to say, or if I want to describe the success of Joseph, where would I talk about it? When he's in jail, or when he is the king of Egypt? What would you say? King of Egypt. What is so successful being a slave? Okay, God is helping, but successful? And by the way, when he is the secondly of Pharaoh, he is not written that he is a Ish Matzliach. Only here is written Matzliach. What is Matzliach? In Hebrew, if you know a little Hebrew, Matzliach is Litzloach Me'al Lamicholim. Latzliach is Litzloach. Litzloach is get over. Get over the obstacles in life. Latzliach Litzloach. In other words, when are you being tested that you are, let's say, a great guy? When you're on top, or your behavior when you're in the bottom?
When you're in the bottom.
And that's what the Torah is also telling us. Being successful means to go over obstacles. Not when you're on top. It's the way you get to the top. That's the Atzlacha. Atzlacha is when you are going and whatever happens to you, you are successful. You manage to go over it and climb up and up and up. And this is unbelievable. Yes?
My question is, why when they were trading him, what did they see in him, the different traders? What was special about him when the brothers were trading him?
First, simply...
He was good looking. Okay.
He was good looking, he was good mannered, and he had good face. He looked exactly as Jacob, his father. And and the idea is, first of all, the point here is, Hashem matzliach be'ado. God is involved, because God wants him to get where he is. You see, the brother maybe are not exactly, if we want to look, there are a few point of views, because we have to understand that there is a plan. And the plan is, Joseph gets to Egypt, and Joseph becomes the ruler of Egypt. Now, how do he get there? God makes it happen. So it happens to the brothers, it happens to the jail, it happens to the Egyptian, but it happens. And that's why when he gets to Egypt, everybody loves him, because God wants everybody to love him. From the other side, we have to, if you want to talk about the pshat, like the simple point, this guy is Joseph. It's not a simple guy. And those Egyptians are not exactly stupid. You're talking about the ministers of Egypt, which was, that till now, people are trying to discover the wisdom of the Egyptian. So they were not stupid people. They were very clever people. And they saw that they've got a diamond here. Pharaoh decides in one spot to put this slave to be the ruler of Egypt. Of Egyptian. It's not an easy thing to understand. But the idea here is, first of all, we have to understand and realize that God wants this to happen. But what do we learn from this? So first of all, as we said, we learn that you don't look at things from the outside. You try to connect. You try to understand what the other side thinks. Not everything that you see is the way you think it is. Communication is the most important thing. And this is the story of Joseph, to tell us and understand what he's communicated with people. And I want to finish this shiur. The Rav Yitzchak Bernstein Zatzal brings a very interesting point. When Joseph is telling his dreams to others, what happens to him? He gets to the pit. He gets to jail. When he starts listening to others' dreams, he gets out of jail. When he listens to the dream of Sarah Mashkim and Sarah Ufim, to those ministers in jail, he then gets out. And then he listens to the dreams of Pharaoh and he becomes the ruler of Egypt. In other words, in life, don't only talk about your dreams. Listen also to others' dreams.